picking up actually on some of the bits that Candy was mentioning earlier, AOG has an increasing number of chaplains. I think there are currently 7 military chaplains with a couple more who are just about to get started. There's chaplains in ambulance services, in police services, in prisons, all over the place. You were a chaplain in the local ambulance for a while. And there are obviously chaplains from all manner of denominations and religions. But apparently the Assemblies of God Pentecostal chaplains are very much in demand. And so one of the streams of breakout sessions that they had at conference was just about chaplaincy and encouraging for people that want to get involved with that. And just the openness to what God is doing. It was interesting, they said that the military chaplains, they get deployed, they're out on battlefields, and they have the utmost respect of all the soldiers. They are the only people on the battlefield who go without any weapons. They are there purely to help. I mean, we knew a chaplain years ago, Peter Davey. He was a larger-than-life character. Carol nodding vigorously, she remembers him. But they face some rough situations, but are able to minister to people at a time when they really need it. It was good to hear some of that stuff that we don't normally hear about on a Sunday, and just hearing what's going on across the country. Yeah, it was just an inspiring time. And if I might say, it was a bit of a metaphorical was the word I was trying to get out. It was a bit of a metaphorical kick up the backside. I'm slightly tired, as may be coming across. Yeah, 17 meetings, seminars over the course of 72 hours. The first one started at 8 o'clock in the morning with prayer and worship. And we generally finished. It was supposed to finish at 10 at night, but didn't always. I'm stalling because I'm struggling to find Joshua. Joshua chapter 5. Hopefully you'll get there sooner than I will. Verse 13. If you want to see the slides, have a look later on the website. I'll upload them with the recording so you can see what you should have been able to see. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. So the people of Israel, they have crossed over the Jordan and they are going in to take possession of the land that God has promised them. And the covenant has been renewed, and we pick this up, verse 13. Now, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the armies of the Lord." As commander of the armies of the Lord, I have now come. Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out, no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Make 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound the long blast on the trumpets, make the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up and everyone straight in." We'll leave it there, I think. Candy made a reference to Pete Greig, who was one of the main speakers at conference. He took a couple of sessions. And it was just over 30 years ago that he was a long-haired student hitchhiking across Europe. he actually told us the story about one night. I think he was in a tent near the top of a cliff somewhere. I think it was south of France or Spain or somewhere. And he woke up in the middle of the night and he got out of his tent and looked up and just saw the expanse of the sky. And he said, standing on the top of that cliff, he suddenly had this vision in front of him. It was a world map. He's looking at this world map, and all of a sudden, as he's looking at the different countries, he sees these just starting to appear all over the place, these armies standing up. Anyway, he went back to bed after that. It's like, that was a bit weird. What was that all about? But it just, something was lodged in his heart. Anyway, he carried on hitchhiking across Europe and eventually got home to the UK. One thing led to another, and he started a prayer meeting in his church. And the real heart for that prayer meeting was to change the culture of the youth, his peers, his contemporaries. And he said, we thought, you know, if we can pray for a week, maybe something will happen. Anyway, they started praying for a week. And they thought, maybe God could change the culture. And they started praying. And that prayer meeting hasn't yet stopped. That became the genesis of the 24/7 prayer network, which has spread right across the world. An army of people who intercede before God day and night, praying for God to come. I've got a huge mix of thoughts, obviously. I'm sure you can imagine, having come away from 3 days of intense meetings and teaching and worship, and there's a lot going on in my head. So if things feel a little bit disjointed, it's not just because I'm tired, but that's probably play a factor as well. Assemblies of God as a network, both in this country and across the world, is a group of churches that, like us, want to see revival. In this country, there are 656 AOG churches currently. 2 weeks ago, I think it was 655. So there was another church planted last week. Within AOG, there are various departments, as I'm sure you can imagine. Years ago, there used to be a kids department and a youth department and a this department and a that department. But I think it was 3-4 years ago, they stripped it right back and said, it's all well and good, us catering for children. It's all well and good catering for youth. It's all well and good doing these different groups for different people. But actually, we are a body. How do we organise ourselves for the good of the body? And there are now, if you go on to the next slide, the main departments within AOG are leadership development, church planting, church health, and global missions. Your kids' work comes in to all of those. Your youth work comes into all of those. The health, being healthy churches, comes into all of those. And global missions. All ages need to be thinking, looking forward. We mustn't be insular. We need to be looking out. As part of the leadership development, Candy mentioned that we had the graduation for all the ministers in training who'd completed their 3 years. They are now accredited Assemblies of God ministers. I start that course in June. So in May 2028 will be my graduation. But that's not where leadership development starts as far as AOG is concerned. Josh, for the last couple of years, went on the Young Lions leadership weekends. They're for, was it 16 to 18, 16 to 19, something like that. Actually, we start training leaders young. They've now started Young Lions Juniors, which is for 11s to 16s. So how do we raise a generation of leaders that will be ready to care for the harvest, to lead the harvest, to bring in the harvest. Before we went away, I read a few articles and heard a little bit, some statistics, and I think mentioned recently here, just about some of the statistics about people coming into the church. The Bible Society recently released their report called The Quiet Revival. And in that report, they confirmed that church attendance over the last 6 years has not declined. It's not leveled off. Church attendance in this country has been on a downward trend for a long time. But over the last 6 years, church attendance has risen by 50%. God's moving. God is moving. Interestingly, the bulk of the increase has been in Pentecostal churches like ours and Catholic churches. Across the spectrum, God is moving. Another thing that this report picked up is that Jen said 18 to 29, 30-year-olds, they are 50% less likely to be atheists than their parents were. That's quite a change. This quote from the report says, "The quiet revival shows that the most dramatic church growth is among young adults, particularly men. In 2018, just 4% of 18 to 24-year-olds said they attended church at least once a month. Today, the report says, this has risen to 16%, with young men increasing from 4% to 21%, and young women from 3% to 12%. You can just about make out there an article that appeared in The Independent recently. And that article starts off like this. It's 10 a.m. on Sunday and people are already starting to filter through the doors of Harbour Church. That's Gareth and Sarah's church in Folkestone, and Mary Jane there as well. Sun streams through the windows. There's an air of anticipation. As the five-piece worship band strikes up, the crowd gets on its feet. The air vibrates as more than 100 voices sing praise to God. Typically, in Harbour Church, they have between 150, 180 people there every Sunday morning. 25 years ago, they were less than we are here this morning. They were about 15 people. The lady that wrote that article, she's a member of their church. It's 18 to 24, 20, up to 29-year-olds are where the bulk of the growth is coming. I started talking about Pete Grieg and the 24/7 Prayer Network. They started 30 years ago. They started 30 years ago praying for a change in a generation. It wasn't the generation that they were expecting. It was the generation that has been born. Since they've been praying, the generation is being changed. Sometimes we have to pray for a long time. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Anna was in the temple. She'd been a widow for 60 years. Day and night, she was in the temple praying that she would see God's salvation. What were they looking for? They were looking for a Messiah to come in and overthrow the Romans and bring the salvation of Israel. She walked into the temple one day. She saw a baby. Screaming baby being held by his mother. And she said, "That's it. That's the answer to my prayer." She knew. And sometimes we have to wait a long time, but God moves in his time and in his way. Assemblies of God as a network in this country has planted 110 churches in the last 3 years. We're currently at 656 churches, as I said. The goal is that we have 1,000 churches by 2028. And let's just say we're on target for that. It's not about building an empire. It's not about building a network for anybody's status. It's because every church will be filled with people who currently don't know God, who don't know Jesus. It doesn't just happen. I mean, yes, people do sometimes just, God intervenes and they mysteriously have a dream and they say, I've got to get to church in the morning, and they walk through the doors of a church. But I forget who it was. Some saint of old said, God's methods are men. God uses people to be his hands and his feet. I was talking to one of the guys from the church planting team, and they are being very strategic about planting churches and how we go about it. And I went over to him, and he pulled up a map. And what you probably can't see, because the screen's not very bright and it's quite small, but that in grey, that's kind of Cranbrook and Sissinghurst parish area. And if you come up close, it says there, the Vine Church. So they've got a computer system with every church that they know about in the country, Anglican, be it Catholic, be it Pentecostal, so the Assemblies of God, Elim, Methodist, they've got every church in the country on this map. They've combined it with data from the census, all sorts of different information. And so this has got census data from the most recent census in 2021. And it puts it at 7,500 people in our patch, if you like. 20% of those people were under the age of 15. 25% are over the age of 65. Does that shape how we pray? Does that shape? Then we've got the rest in the middle between sort of 15 to 65. And they're looking at how can churches, where should churches plant out? How can churches work together in an area to plant another church? We're going to need more churches. But it doesn't just happen. We look at this in Joshua. Joshua fell before the commander of the armies of the Lord. He says, what do you want to say? He says, I've got a strategy. Do this, work like this. God has a strategy. And it's been said that we should work like it all depends on us, but pray like it all depends on God. According to these stats, I can't read the number. Josh, can you see that bottom number on the screen? There are 6,981 people in Cranbrook and Sissinghurst that don't go to church. There are, I think it says on there, 7 churches in that little patch. So we could have 7 churches with nearly 1,000 people in each church. That's the scope. But half of you don't even live in Cranbrook. So how much wider is the scope for people knowing Jesus? Since taking over the leadership of the Vine nearly a year ago, I've been trying to gently change the culture here. And at conference, I kind of feel like I got a kick up the backside saying we need to take things up a level. You just look at that map and you think there are a lot of people that still need Jesus. So where do we start? I think we start by praying. One of the things that that they produced this year was a prayer shield. And I was talking to a guy I know in Coventry, Martin Story. He's the him and his wife, Esther. Some of you, if you went to the Well conference, who of you went to the Well conference at Folkestone? Esther Story spoke there. Her and her husband, pictured there, they lead a church in Coventry. And they are the national prayer leads for Assemblies of God. And just talking to them, and they've produced this. And it's a seven-day pointer of things to pray about. Things for Assemblies of God as a network, but also for us as a local church. Sundays, pray for the local church. Mondays, pray for the national leadership team. Tuesday, pray for pastors and chaplains. Wednesday, pray for leadership development. Thursday, pray for the health of the churches. Friday, pray for global missions. Saturday, pray for church planting. And on each day, they've got some pointers to pray about, some scriptures to encourage you. But I want to encourage each of you. Will you take one of these? Joshua, can you put the next slide up? They've called it the prayer shield because together we can stand. I don't know how clearly you can see that, but that's a depiction of a Roman army with their shields up in formation. And there's a sense that where, as we pray, we cover ourselves as a church here with protection, but also for churches right across the country. So can I encourage you, will you commit to praying every day for the church? Not just for the church as an insular, isolated thing, but for the church and its mission, for the church and what it needs to do, the church and what it needs to be doing, for the church to be more outward looking. I think over the last few years as a church, we've been quite insular. We haven't been looking out. We haven't been reaching out. And that kick up the backside that says we need to be much more outward looking. We need to be spreading the gospel, sharing the love of God. On Friday mornings, Candy and I are going to be doing prayer walks. And I'd like to invite you to join us, to walk around the street, pray for the houses as we walk past them. I want you to join us, not geographically, because I don't want a group of 15, 20, 25 people all walking around together. We don't need that, because when we go, we do not go on our own. We go with the presence of God. Me and God is a majority. So I would like you to invite you to join us on Fridays, ideally, just because we have that sense of togetherness if we do things together, to walk around the roads near you. Walk up the street you live in and just pray for each house. Ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want to say to me about what's going on? What do I need to pray? I don't know what's going on behind these front doors. But Jesus, you know. Holy Spirit, you know. Behind that door could be someone that right now they need a visitation from God. Will you do that? You don't have to take a long time, but just one thing on that. Don't be weird. I don't like weird. I remember when I was at university, we did a lot of prayer walking around the campus. And some groups, let's just say, when it's winter and it's dark, you get a group of like half a dozen people standing in a circle, sort of all heads down, and like, it looks a bit sinister. But actually, just walk and talk to God as if he were walking alongside next to you. Jesus, what do you want to say? Holy Spirit, will you touch the people here? Oh, I know that. That's Fred lives there. Lord, bless Fred. Open his eyes to see you. Just walk. Maybe as you're walking, you'll meet someone and you'll start talking to them. And what are you doing here? Oh, I'm praying for the community. We do this because we believe that God can heal people. God can help people.
2 Chronicles. You probably know the verse well. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14.
Most of you can probably quote it verbatim. "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and I will heal their land." There are a lot of people that need healing. They need healing spiritually. They need healing mentally. They need healing emotionally. They need healing physically. For the last year or so, every Sunday, I've had in my pocket a little pot of oil. I've never really felt at liberty to get it out. There it is. James chapter 5, verse 13. "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you ill? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." It's important that we pray for the sick. I believe the sick will be healed. And I've said that to you before, and I will say it again. The sick will be healed. When we take scripture, we don't judge the scripture according to our experience. We end up in a bad place if we do that. We must judge our lives according to the book. I don't judge the scripture judges me. If my experience doesn't match up with what's in here, then something's got to change. And let me give you a clue. It's not this. The last, I'm not sure how many weeks, I've finished with some points for reflection. Things that I need to think about off the back of what we've spoken about. Today, I want some action points. Will you decide to daily lift up your prayer shield? To daily pray for the church? Pray for its protection? Pray for its strengthening. Pray for its encouragement. Pray for unity. Oh, is that important? Unity is vitally important. Both within a congregation like this, but my unity with Wes down at the Congregational Church. He's a good bloke. I really like him. We get on well, but it's important that we maintain that unity. The other churches around, you know, it's important. Yes, we may differ on some interpretation of some theological points, but actually, if we love Jesus, that's the key thing. When I was, I don't know what age, I wasn't convinced that Catholics were saved. But I tell you, I've met some Catholics that put me to shame in terms of their moving in the gifts of the Spirit. They know and love Jesus. Yeah, I may think that their theology is a bit screwy on some things, but they know and love Jesus, and that's the bottom line. Lift up your prayer shield and pray for the community in your locality. It might be that you cannot, and I get this, walking is a struggle for some people. But can you do a prayer walk, letting your fingers walk around a map? I think that counts. Lord, I'm praying for this road. Lord, bless the people that live on that road. And then maybe in your mind's eye, you look and you think, oh, yep, turn right there. And yep, and I know there's houses, there's however many houses down that side. Lord, bless each of those. God is not restricted by our geography. I don't know if you know that. He is. He is not in a place. He is. So I want to finish this morning If anybody's sick, I want to pray for you and dab a little bit of oil on you to anoint you with oil. So will you stand with me? And can we pray together?